From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on this day in Maine, Monday, November 10th, 2025. Maine's two senators were central to the bipartisan deal that may help end the 41-day-long federal government shutdown. But as Kevin Miller reports, independent Senator Angus King has come under blistering criticism from some traditional allies for his role in the compromise.
For 40 days, Senate Democrats held firm that subsidies under the Affordable Care Act had to be extended before they would vote to reopen government. But the deal struck Sunday with Republicans contains only a promise of a future vote on the subsidies, with no guarantee of success. King says that strategy had to be changed.
Because it wasn't working.
King defended his position while responding to a question Sunday night about how the senators would explain to their constituents why the weeks-long fight had been worth it if they didn't achieve that goal.
It's been 6 weeks. Republicans made it clear they weren't going to discuss the health care issue, the Affordable Care Act tax credits, until the shutdown was over. We tried to keep working that for 6 weeks. It didn't happen.
This isn't a new position for King, who has voted more than a dozen times with Republicans to reopen the government. He says the shutdown hurts vulnerable Americans while empowering the Trump administration. But this time, he and the seven Democrats were excoriated by left-leaning pundits and Democrats on social media who accused them of caving to Republicans. The vote came just 5 days after Democrats won elections nationwide in what many viewed as a referendum on Trump, congressional Republicans, and the shutdown.
Senator Collins has been a disappointment for a long time, but we had expected Senator King to be more helpful.
Sandra Thomas of Bremen was among a group of people protesting outside of Collins' office in Portland on Monday. And here's how Democratic Senate candidate Graham Plattner responded when King's vote came up during an event in Brewer.
I mean, I am in vehement disagreement with his position on this vote.
Plattner is seeking the Democratic nomination to challenge Republican Senator Susan Collins next year. As chairwoman of the Senate Appropriations Committee, Collins helped to secure the agreement to reopen the government until at least January 30th, while fully funding for a whole year programs like the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, as well as Veterans Affairs. Plattner blames Collins and her Republican colleagues for the shutdown, but he's also critical of the other eight senators, without naming names.
Instead of holding the line, several Democrats teamed up with Republicans and cut a deal that, to be blunt, will hurt the working people of Maine. This deal is a disaster, and we're going to have real-life consequences to it.
Plattner's top opponent in next year's Democratic primary, Governor Janet Mills, steered clear of mentioning King or any of the other senators by name. In a statement on social media, she blamed Trump and Collins for tens of thousands of people facing skyrocketing health care costs. She then added that Maine people deserve affordable health care, not just, quote, the promise of a vote that won't go anywhere. Fight back. For her part, Collins praised the contours of the agreement to reopen government, and especially the role that her colleagues on the Senate Appropriations Committee played in the process.
Under our legislation, all federal employees, including members of our military and Coast Guard, the Capitol Police officers, Border Patrol agents, TSA screeners, air traffic controllers, all will receive their back wages.
But Representative Shelley Pingree, a Democrat who represents Maine's left-leaning 1st District, said any deal that doesn't include an extension of the ACA subsidies fails millions of families facing higher health care costs. Pingree then added, quote, that is not a compromise. It is capitulation. King, meanwhile, didn't back down on Monday from his position that something needed to happen to end the shutdown and begin negotiations over the subsidies. Speaking on Morning Joe, King said the deal would free up food assistance dollars for 42 million Americans and pay federal employees. And he said it will, quote, put the Republicans to the test when the Senate votes by the middle of next month on whether to extend health care subsidies for tens of millions of Americans. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
While the Mills administration today said it had distributed SNAP benefits for the month of November, Advocates say the uncertainty around food assistance is still being felt. Alex Carter of the advocacy group Maine Equal Justice says the administration's handling of food assistance programs has been chaotic.
This has been a roller coaster, and it's been, you know, whiplash for everyone involved, including the state administrators who have been trying to keep up, but most of all for families who every day wake up thinking, is this the day I'm going to get my benefits? Am I going to be able to feed my family next week?
In July, Congress passed one of the largest cuts to health care and food assistance in history, which included changes to SNAP eligibility, benefits, and program administration. SNAP is the nation's largest food security program, serving approximately 42 million Americans, including about 170,000 in Maine. Starting in December, the number of trauma centers in Maine will drop from 3 down to 2. Citing financial reasons, Central Maine Medical Center says it's no longer seeking the designation. But as Patty White reports, hospital officials say the change won't affect patient care.
Aaron Clark, the medical director of Central Maine Medical Center's emergency department, says it costs the hospital about $500,000 a year to be certified as a trauma center through the American College of Surgeons.
To be frank, CMMC doesn't have the administrative staff or resources needed to devote to maintaining the record keeping required for the designation, and we made a choice to allocate those resources to direct patient care instead.
The decision means that Maine Medical Center in Portland and Northern Light Eastern Maine Medical Center in Bangor will be the only two trauma centers in the state. But Clark says CMMC will continue to treat trauma patients, just as it did following the mass shooting in Lewiston in 2023.
We would not just send all those patients down to Portland or Bangor. We would have the resources and capability to take care of them, just as we did 2 years ago.
Maine's Emergency Medical Services says patients with more serious injuries should be transported to a trauma center if the travel time is less than 45 minutes. Otherwise, patients should be treated at the closest hospital. Under those guidelines, Paul Gosselin, the executive director of United Ambulance, doesn't expect much to change either. He says only patients in the southern part of Lewiston would be transported to Portland.
For example, if we were out in Green or Turner or whatever, that probably wouldn't meet the criteria and would have to go to Central Maine first anyway.
But the director of Maine EMS, Will O'Neill, says he's more worried by the change. He says emergency responders could face tough decisions about whether to transport patients or bring them to CMMC. And he says at a time when there's increased demand on ambulance providers, it could especially burden smaller services.
There's an increased stress, I think, of the decision-making on our stakeholders. There's going to be an impact on the system from these units having to potentially travel further and then return back to their communities.
At the hospital level, Maine Medical Center says it's able to absorb more trauma patients, but some officials are expressing concern.
I do think that this news is really a sign of sort of an evolving and really worrisome trend that's sort of cascading across the state.
Dr. Charles Morris is chief medical officer.
Which is, time and again, we're seeing distressed hospitals and systems forced to make really difficult decisions given the really untenable financial pressures.
Such as the discontinuation of some labor and delivery services. Morris says these decisions are often a reflection of the waning reimbursement rates from the state and from insurers that make it more challenging to provide care. But Central Maine Medical Center says this change isn't about removing a service, it's about preserving it. To underscore that point, hospital officials highlighted that they're currently recruiting for an orthopedic trauma surgeon. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Staff at the Maine Public Utilities Commission are recommending that regulators continue deliberating Central Maine Power's controversial distribution rate hike. As Peter McGuire reports, they say that the PUC should reject moves to dismiss the case brought by Maine's Energy Department and Public Advocate.
In a filing last month, the Maine Department of Energy Resources says CMP has to delay its rate increase until it completes long-term electric grid planning. But commission staff says there's no legal requirement to wait. And they also say there's nothing preventing CMP from pursuing a multi-year rate plan, as the public advocate has argued. If commissioners accept the report, they will continue litigating CMP's plan into next year. A rate increase could go into effect next October. The power company wants to increase spending by more than $1.5 billion over 5 years to hire full-time employees and improve reliability. Furious CMP customers say they cannot afford another rate increase on top of rising electricity prices. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Peter McGuire.
In an effort to cut rising operational costs at the jail, Knox County officials announced today that they intend to send prisoners with longer-term sentences to the Two Bridges Regional Jail in Wiscasset beginning in January. The Knox County Jail will be used instead as a holding facility and will continue to be run by the Knox County Sheriff. In a press release, the county administrator said the annual cost of running the jail is expected to grow by more than $1 million next year, mainly due to rising costs for personnel, medical care, mental health care, and other mandatory services. And the sheriff said replacing the jail, which is nearing the end of its lifespan, would likely have required a bond estimated at between $75 and $100 million. A former assistant district attorney for Cumberland County says she was fired last week after telling DA Jackie Sartoris she planned to challenge her in next year's election. In a press release, Valerie Adams says she met with Sartoris last week to let her know she would be running for the DA position and to give some of the reasons why. Adams says she was then immediately fired. In a statement today, Sartoris said she recognizes, quote, the right for any qualified person to run for elected office and that she would not fire someone for expressing an interest in running for the DA position. And the Hearts of Pine lost their semifinal against the Spokane Velocity last night, ending their inaugural season one game from the final. The Hearts were up 2-1 until the 121st minute when the Velocity scored with 3 minutes left to tie it up. The tie forced them into penalty kicks, where Spokane ultimately won 6-5. The game ends the Hearts' year with a regular season record of 11 wins, 7 losses, and 12 ties, and the first playoff berth in team history. Head coach Bobby Murphy and defender Nathan Messer are both up for all-league awards, set to be announced this Friday. And that's this evening's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, we'll listen back to an earlier conversation about David McCullough's posthumous collection of essays. And a reminder that This Day in Maine will take off tomorrow for Veterans Day. We'll be back Wednesday. I'm Nicole Ugrisco. Thanks for listening.